like something was just going to beat right on out of my chest. I didn't think I could sit there any longer. I knew there was something that I didn't have. I'm just like that was telling. I didn't want to let him in because I knew what I was. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. I knew exactly what I was, but he just kept on knocking. And he wanted in, and I tell you what, I let him in that night. It wasn't me accepting him because there's no acceptance that I can do, because who am I to accept the Lord? There's no way I could ever accept the Lord. He came in. I can take you to the spot where the Lord saved my soul. We sang a song, "He Touched Me." There's a lot of different places, people, that will tell you you can't know if you're saved. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know that He touched you, and you know where He touched you. You know a time and a place in your life where the Lord reached down and saved your soul. It wasn't something that you had to guess about or wonder about. It's something that you know, that you know, that you know is real. It's something that you can't lose. It's something that I bought a car and I financed it through Franklin Bank there in Simpson County. If I don't pay that payment, they can come get that car. But that's never going away. It's already been paid for. It was bought at Calvary by the blood that ran down that cross, by the blood that He shed for me. It was already paid for, given to me freely. Even though I was a sinner, I didn't have anything to offer Him. I'm sure if He'd have been standing physically at me, I didn't have the best clothes on. But I'm thankful that the Lord looked on the inside and saw what I needed, and He gave it to me. I'm thankful for that this morning. Would there be anything else on your hearts this morning? Anything at all? Lord, help. Lord, help. Amen.
You know, I wish I had the opportunity to tell people who put that sign up there, who is Jesus. Yeah. You know, this city needs to know who Jesus is. This country needs to know who Jesus is. This world needs to know who Jesus is.
Amen. Amen.
And it's our obligation that we need to tell. And, you know, the Lord has made ways. You know, and we need to take advantage of it. You know,
Lord, help.
No disgrace to get on television, praise God. No disgrace to take these sermons and let them go out all over this land, country, by way of computer, or whatever means that you have to get. We just need to get
it. Amen.
We see what Brother Paul Bryson has accomplished just by sending out the messages on shortwave radio. He got all the way to Africa, and now we have churches in Africa. So, the Lord will make the way.
Amen. Appreciate this morning. Anything else on your hearts? Anything at all? We do have a thought this morning. I guess it would kind of go along with everything that's going on here today, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful the Lord can do things like that. Our reading this morning would come from 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. I'm sure it'll be very familiar reading. And we'll start with the first verse. "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth, and now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure
through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And if I would title this this morning, it would be, Lord, thank you for this valley. This is Paul writing here to the Corinthian church, and I'm thankful that he wrote this. This has been a big help to me in times past. I was sitting in church a couple Sundays ago at Pleasant Hill, and this thought came to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I began to look for where that verse was, and I came to this, and the Lord gave me this, and I knew that I was supposed to preach that here. I didn't know that I would be coming back, but I knew that I was supposed to preach this here at some point. I didn't know why. I still don't know why, but I know that God knows all things. But I'm glad that Paul wrote this, because this is very applicable to each and every one of us that are here today. He was telling, don't look at what I've done, but I want to tell you something greater, far greater than I am. But he went on to explain about how something had happened to him, and there's different beliefs on what Paul was talking about, the thorn in the flesh, maybe bad eyesight, maybe another a physical ailment, but some people say that it was just Satan that was bothering Paul. But what Paul was saying here, he says, I've had this problem that's been bothering me for this long time, and I've asked the Lord to let it go away from me. But he won't take it away. But what did God say to him? He said, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I told you that my thought was, Lord, thank you for this valley. And you might say that is a very weird name for a sermon, but as I began to think about this, I tell you, we all look at things as mountains and valleys in our churches and our spiritual lives. We look at things, the good times are the mountains and the valleys are the low times in our life. Each and every person that is here will be on the mountain at some point, and they'll also be in the valley. Our churches go through the exact same thing. Sometimes we get on the mountain, and sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes we have problems that beset us on our way. But what does God tell us? He told Paul, and I'm so thankful that God speaks to us. I'm glad that he does that. I believe that he talked to Paul right here. But what did he tell him? When he was weak, he was made strong. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. This world looks at things. They like to look at strength as money and someone that's physically strong. Or maybe there's people in this world that people put a lot of esteem on, and they look like a powerful strength, people that are full of strength. They're very good at what they do, but there's also a different side to that. There's a weakness. Each and every one of us have our own weaknesses that we all deal with. There are weaknesses in this world, and sometimes people get down on themselves because of their weaknesses. Maybe our weakness is maybe we can't sing or preach or pray like other people do. Maybe our weaknesses are things that the devil throws at us, because I believe that the devil is at us on every single hand. I believe that the devil is at us because he wants to destroy everything about us. But we know one who is far greater than he is. But he says, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We sang a song, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. There's a lot of times in our lives things will go real good for us. Things will go good for such a long time that we get on these mountains. We begin to think, look how good that my life is. Look at what I've done. But the truth of the matter is, we've done nothing. God's done it all for us. We get on these mountains and we begin to look around. And if you've ever been up on a mountain, you can look out and you can see all the beautiful scenery and the things that are out there. You can just look out for miles and miles around and see all of the good things. And boy, we can stay on that mountain for such a long time that we suddenly find ourselves in the valley because we've let everything else go that we're supposed to have in our control.
Sometimes we look at things in different ways than we should. We'll stay so on that mountain, and I'm glad for those mountains. I like to be on the mountain. But we can't always be on the mountain. Sometimes we've got to have those valleys to remind us of who we need. Those valleys remind us that we need God more today than we've ever needed Him. Because in our weaknesses, He has strength to make us strong. When there's nothing to us, God comes along and makes us strong. This world may look at us today, it may look at me, and if you know me very well, you know that I'm not a very strong person. They'll bring those parts in at work, and some of them are so heavy I can't hardly pick them up. And there's people that'll walk by and they'll pick them up with ease. But that's why with God, He knows that we are weak people. He knows that all we are sinners. But He loves us enough to help us through each and everything that we go through. I'm thankful for my valleys. Now, when I'm in the valley, sometimes that's a hard place to be because it looks like we'll never get out of these valleys. Sometimes it looks like there's nowhere to go. And we start climbing that mountain, trying to get back to the top of the mountain. Where we want to be, we want to be on the mountain. We begin to try to run. I don't know if I could run to those doors without getting out of breath. So I know trying to run up a mountain wouldn't do me very much, but we'll try to go as hard and as fast as we can to get back to the top of the mountain. Sometimes it's good just to stop and take in the surroundings where we're at, even if it's in the valley, because God can bless us in the valley. Yeah, Paul was talking here, and he said, I don't want to be exalted above the Lord. I don't want anybody to think better of me than of the Lord. Because I want people to know who's really in control. I want people to know who's really the one behind all of this. I want them to know that even in the valleys, even in my weaknesses, even in the things that I cannot control, God is there to help us. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am made strong. Now, I don't know how many of you enjoy infirmities, being sick, and reproaches, and people disagreeing and saying bad things about you. In distresses, I don't like to be stressed, but it seems like this world that we live in just adds more stress each and every day that we live. It seems like we can't do anything without another burden being rolled upon us. In this world, and what does that do when these worldly burdens get placed on us? They make us take our eyes off the Lord. They make us take our eyes off the one that can really help us. But as I thought about this, I know there's many people, and Paul says, I sought the Lord thrice that it may depart from me. He was asking the Lord to take away this thing that had been bothering him. He didn't really understand why he had to be dealing with this thorn in the flesh. Isn't that how we are today? God will give us something to do and we'll say, well, Lord, I really didn't want that. He'll send us that valley and we'll say, well, I was enjoying being on the mountain. I was enjoying where I was at. But God knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. Because those valleys, if you'll ever get in there, you'll realize that on those mountains you don't utilize the prayer time with the Lord that we ought to. Sometimes it takes getting back to the valleys, getting back on our knees. And Sister Stella put in the bulletin, when we stand tallest and strongest is on our knees. And I'm so thankful that when I get down on my knees, I'm taller and more stronger than any person that's in this world. Our prayers and our faith, if we really get behind them, they can move mountains. If we really just want to get down to it, and I'm thankful that it can. People don't understand and realize what a great thing that we have to kneel in supplication and prayer with the Lord. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to get before the Lord and begin to pray and ask God to help us. I'm one of those people that don't like to ask for help. I will struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle without ever asking anybody for help because I like to try to figure things out. I do. I like to figure everything out. I like to have a plan. I like to know what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, how I'm doing it. Working for the Lord don't always go that way. Working for the Lord doesn't always go the way that we think it will. This life does not always go like we think it will. We set out in our lives to become great things. You're told all your life, if you can put your mind on it, you can do it. Well, I don't want to burst your bubble this morning. But without the Lord, you'll never be anything great. You may be a millionaire, and I'm sure Bill Gates today is enjoying all of his money. But if he ain't got what I've got, he ain't got anything. If he don't have the Lord, he's going to die and he's going to go to hell. His valleys don't seem as big as probably my valleys, and maybe they do. Maybe to him, if he loses $5 million, maybe that's a big old problem for him. I don't know. I've never had that kind of money, and I don't know. Maybe I never will. But I'm thankful that it's not about this life. I'm thankful that it's about the next life, because we're going to struggle through this life. It's just how it goes. And if you're here today and lost, I don't want you to think that serving the Lord and being saved is a struggle, because it really isn't. Because the things that we go through, we have somebody to call on. Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice that he would take this away from him. He didn't take it away from him, but he had somebody to call on, to listen to him. Even in those valleys, God is still there to listen to us. I began to think about different people in the Bible and valleys that maybe they had. I began to think about Moses and Pharaoh. And if you ever read that story, and I'm sure all of you know it pretty well, if you ever thought about what had happened, Moses went to Pharaoh and he kept asking for the children to be released. Let us go. And Pharaoh kept denying him. He kept telling him no. Pharaoh finally let him go after a lot of hard-headedness and a lot of stubbornness on his part. He finally let the children of Israel go. But then what'd he do? As soon as they got gone, he said, ooh, I didn't want to do that. That was a mistake. So then he goes after them. And the children of Israel just go, and they think they've finally gotten to a place where they can be free. But what happens? The children of Israel see Pharaoh and his great army coming behind them to capture them again. And then they look out in front of them. What do they see? They see the Red Sea. They say, we've got the Red Sea on one end, and we've got the army behind us. What are we going to do? Aren't we like that? Don't we see the problem before us and the problem behind us and say, what do we do? We get so upset sometimes. And what does God do? When we'll get down and start praying, he'll part that Red Sea. We can cross over on dry land. God can make a way for anybody, anytime. He made a way for them. I don't know if you've ever crossed over a river after water's run over it. But you don't cross over on dry land. Why was that able for them? Because God was in it. Because God was with them. He made a way for them. Boy, that looked like a valley to them. It looked like they didn't know where they was going to be. But God made a way for them. Isn't that a wonderful illustration this morning? That God can do anything, even part the Red Sea for those children of Israel. Oh, what a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. I also thought about Jehoshaphat. This is some of my most favorite scripture in the Bible. And it's in the 20th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. Some of my most favorite reading in the Bible. Sometimes I look over this all through the week, because this is something that helps me. What had happened was, you had Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and he looked and he saw the Moabites and the Ammonites. They were fixing to come and they were fixing to take over Judah. They were fixing to come and they were fixing to make captives of Judah. They were fixing to get them under their control. And boy, Jehoshaphat didn't like that. He didn't want that to happen. He could look out across the sea, and I believe he could just see those boats and that army coming in. I believe he could look out and he knew what was fixing to head in his direction. And in the 9th verse of the 20th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, it says, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and at Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And this is the most beautiful part right here. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know what we to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now what Jehoshaphat had done is, I believe he got down on his knees. I really can honestly see this in my mind's eye. I can see him getting down and calling on the Lord and saying, Lord, here's another battle that I can't do on my own. I need your help this time again. I need you one more time to help us. He didn't know what to do. There was no way he knew that he could fight this battle and win. But you know what he done? He turned his eyes upon the Lord. And he set them there. And I believe Judah came out of this victorious because they put their faith in God. That's what each and every one of us has to do when we get in those valleys and we get down as low as we can get. We've got to put our faith and our eyes on the Lord. Because there is nobody else. If he'd have just said, I can do this on my own, they would have been destroyed by that army. They shouldn't have won. There's a lot of times in our lives we shouldn't win. I was sitting there this last week, and I was studying this, and I began to look back over some things that have happened in my life. Times in my life when things should have gone a whole lot differently than they did. And God came on the scene. He showed me who was in control, and he helped me. Now, I'm not trying to give you one of those ear-pleasing messages this morning, because I believe this world is a rough, rough world to live in. And I don't know how people who have not been saved by God's grace do it. I don't know how they get up in the morning and their feet hit the floor. I don't know how they do it because they have nobody to call on. I have a lot of good friends. A lot of good people that I know if I called them on the phone and said, will you help me? They would. But can't nobody in this world help you like the Lord can? Because there's sometimes we're struggling up that mountain. And there's no end in sight. There's no way we'll ever get to the top again. And God comes by and he picks us up. He sets us right on top of that mountain. He says, I'm in control. God is in control of everything. This world, I believe he could just put in the palm of his hand and just carry it around. He knows everything about each and every one of us. Paul, that writing there that I read to you this morning, when I am weak, then I am strong. We don't look at weakness as being strong. We look at people who physically have ailments, we look at them, we say, well, they're just weak, and we write them off. A lot of times, people of this world write off God's people. They say, well, they have to have faith in God, so they're not very strong. Without God, I'm not strong, but with God, I am. Without God, I am weak, but with God, I'm strong. I'm physically not in the best shape in this world. I know that. And sometimes it takes other people to help us. But there are just problems. And this problem that Paul had, he was talking about the thorn in the flesh. There was nobody that could take that away from him in this world. I don't believe he could have went to any doctor, had that taken away. I believe if the Lord had wanted it to be taken away, he would have taken it away. But he didn't. We get in those valleys, and what do we begin to do? Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with this. Sometimes God places us in these valleys to show us how good we really, really have it. To show us how important it is to call upon his name. This is going to sound kind of odd, but I like the valleys. I like the mountaintops. I like to be able to see I like to see everything. I like to see the big picture. I do. I like to see the big picture. That's just how I am. But I like it when I can just release everything to the Lord and say, Lord, this is another valley that I can't do. And you know that. You know I can't do it. God knew that before he put us there. What did he want us to do? He wanted us to call on him. I think about sometimes in my life, in my prayer life, and I try to pray a lot because I need God every day. Not just on Sundays. I need him every day. But sometimes I'll be sitting in the truck riding around at work or wherever I'm at, and I'll sit around and I'm thinking, how long has it been since I talked to the Lord? If I don't call my grandparents after a couple days, one or two of them is going to be calling to check on me and find out how I'm doing, what I'm doing, if I'm okay, if I need anything. They're going to be doing that. Isn't God the same way? If we don't call on Him, sometimes He has to take us off the mountaintop, set us in the valley, and say, now you can call on me. Now you're going to need me again. God wants us to call on Him. Our churches, He wants us to call on Him. Our churches can get on mountaintops, but they can be brought down quick. But even in those valleys, God can bring us out of those too. Our churches need the valleys just as much as the mountaintops to make us come together and make us realize that we need to unite in prayer to see these lost people saved. I would venture to say just about everybody here knows a lost person that needs to be saved. And I believe there's power, and this is going to sound kind of bad, I guess, but I believe there's power in numbers. Not great multitudes of numbers. There's power in that if all God's people will pray. But I believe when we bring things before the church, and we bring things in the house of God, and we come with our brothers and sisters, and we petition the Lord together, oh, He hears that kind of thing. He loves and really wants to see unity in a church. He wants to see that love and that compassion for each other. I told you that there's nobody else that can help you in those valleys. And really there isn't. But sometimes we find ourselves in valleys with other people. Sometimes we find ourselves in valleys with our brothers and sisters. Now they physically can't set us on top of the mountain where we want to be, but you know what we can do? We can go together as one person. We can go together and we can help each other. When they have a weakness, we can pray for them. We can find what's wrong and help them because we're with them. When God saves a soul, I believe He puts a perfect love in there for each and every person that lives. And I believe we want to see other people do well. I want to try to leave you with, I'm almost done, I promise. I want to leave you with a couple more thoughts. Over in Acts, in the 7th chapter, and it starts in, I guess, the 6th, but in the 7th, we won't read all of it. We don't really have the time this morning, but in the 54th verse, and we won't probably read this, but I know many of you have heard about a man named Stephen. Now, Stephen began to preach to these people here, and he got him in some trouble. He got arrested, and they didn't like what he had to say, but he didn't say anything out of the way. He told them the truth, and they didn't like the truth. But he told them the truth. And what happened was, is Stephen was put to death. I believe it tells us here in the 54th verse through the 60th about what happened to him. And I want you to just imagine if you were in this place today, I want you to imagine standing for the Lord and being stoned to death. Now, no doubt Stephen thought that the Lord had forgotten all about him, that he'd been left out here to just die a miserable death. I don't know how many of you would want to be stoned to death, but I don't. I can just imagine them beginning to throw those rocks. And we know the story. Stephen looked up, and who did he see? He saw the Lord. Even in his dying hour, his last hour here on earth, he saw the Lord because the Lord helped him through that. You say, well, why'd the Lord let him die? Sometimes we die for the Lord's cause. Sometimes we have to fight for the Lord, His church, in the right way. And sometimes it will take us out of this life. Stephen did. Stephen was stoned to death. But the beauty in that was, even though he was dying, what did God do for him? We talked about His grace is sufficient for us. I believe He gave him parting grace right there. I believe He gave him grace to die with. I believe He let him go, even in his dying hour, with that grace. Grace is a big old word. Unmerited favor that we don't deserve. When we get saved, what does God do? He saves us by His grace. Unmerited favor that we don't deserve. We don't deserve anything. We deserve hell. It's what we really deserve. We got right down to it. All of us deserve to burn in hell for all eternity. But by His grace and His love for us, He saves our soul.
And it doesn't stop there.
His grace doesn't just stop after we get saved. And he says, go along your merry way and I hope you make it on the other side.
No. When God saves us, he begins to walk with us and talk with us and help us through everything.
Because his grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. I want to leave you with this verse. This is another one of those verses that I really love. And I want you to, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn with me here. Because I believe this will help you at some point if you'll just let it. I believe if you already don't know what I'm fixing to read. I believe if you'll find yourself in those valleys and those times when you really just have no idea where you're going to turn. You can read about Jehoshaphat and turn your eyes upon the Lord. And that's good reading. 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I'll give you just a second to get there in the 10th verse. So you may already know this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. That's the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah in the 10th verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He is our God. We should not fear anything in this world. We should fear him. I believe the Bible tells us to fear the one that protects our body and our soul and casts us into hell. And not as in the fears we should be scared, we should give reverence to the Lord. And everything that we do, but for I am with thee. God goes everywhere that we go. He knows every struggle that we have, every mile that we take, every bump that we take, he's right there with us. Even when we think he's not, I can just look back behind me and see the places that I've been and say, the Lord had to carry me through that because I couldn't go alone. We don't go alone anywhere we go. I believe the first time that I preached here, I believe I preached on him being alive. And I'm thankful that God is alive because he goes with us. In our darkest hour, in the middle of the night, when there's nobody else to call on, you can call me in the middle of the night and I will be so glad to pray with you, talk to you, whatever you want to do. I would love to do that for you. But in this life, I physically cannot help you. All I can do is call on the Lord, who you can go to first as well. Now please, if you ever need me, call me. But please go to the Lord too, because he can help you. He wants to help you. I told you that our title of this message this morning was, Lord, thank you for this valley. And I want to leave you with this morning. We thank God. We pray. A lot of times what we do is we're asking God for things. We're asking God, I need your help this time. I need this. I need that. I want this. I want that. Sometimes it's good to go to the Lord and just say thank you. It's good to go to the Lord and say, I just want to thank you for what you've done for me. I just want to thank you. First of all, for saving my soul. But I want to thank you for what you've just done for me. A lot of times we say this altar is for lost people, and I disagree. I think it's for saved people as well. I believe it's okay for us to come and pour our hearts out to the Lord and just say thank you. And of course, when you do things for people, most of the time you're not expecting anything back. And I don't know if the Lord expects anything back from us except for us to work for him and try. But I believe the Lord likes to thank you every now and then. He likes to know that what he's done is appreciated. I'm thankful that I have God to call on. I'm thankful for those valleys. And I believe if Paul was standing here today, I believe he would say, I'm glad he didn't remove that from me. Because I found out just how weak I was and how much I needed the Lord. Just how much I really needed to rely on him. It's okay to lean on the Lord. People say that... people who aren't strong or whatever, they like to generalize everything and say if you are somebody that needs help a lot, that you're a weak person. But God is there for us to call on for a reason. It's not to make us weak. It is to make us strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Lord, I just want to thank you for this valley.
Even when you're right there in the middle of it, just say, Lord, thank you for this valley. Thank you for showing me one more time just exactly what I was going through. I can remember when my nanny passed away. She's a very wonderful woman. And I remember going to her house, and she had just passed. You don't think about when somebody passes, this thought coming to your mind, but she'd been saved. But I thought, God is so good. Because when we leave this world, we've got a better place to go. Even in our death, God is still good to us. May God bless you is our prayer. I want to tell you that I love you this morning. Each and every one of you, you all have touched my heart each and every time that I've been able to come here. You all are such a wonderful people, and I'm just so thankful to be able to call you friends and family. And I feel like Mount Calvary is just another church home for me. I go to a lot of places, and sometimes you don't feel necessarily as at home as you do others. But I feel at home here, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for your love and your prayers. I'm praying for you all. And may God bless you is our prayer this morning. Brother Dyer, I'd like to have us a song.